This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Mom, Dad, I'm not throwing shade, but the whole New Year's resolution thing, kind of slipping, no offense. Anyway, my best friend Jenny's dad, crushing it. He uses Blue Apron. He says he ordered one pan assemble and bake meals and these things called meal kits. They're all super easy to make. He keeps yelling, protein and fiber, baby. Also, the food, we tried it. So good. So maybe you check it out or whatever. Blue Apron. Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Ball thrown to Buddy Hield by Draymond. Pulls up for a jumper at the buzzer. Got it! Oh, what a pass by Draymond! Right down the middle of the floor. Led Buddy Hield up, who made the run, the catch, the shot. And the Warriors will take a four-point lead to the break.
Now back to Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Mark Randy with you here live from Chase Center as we react to another Warriors win. This time the final score over the Pelicans, 104-89 in favor of the Warriors. And shout out to my guy Cam Williams on the ones and twos back at our 95.7 The Game studios, because I don't know if he knew I wanted to talk about that play, the highlight that he just called. You heard Tim Roy, voice of the Warriors, describe it awesomely, as he always does. End of the first half, the Buddy Hield buzzer-beating three. That's the play of the night. That was the play of the night for the Golden State Warriors, and an underrated important one, because if the Warriors don't get that three-pointer, they don't take the momentum with them into the second half, and they began the second half on a really nice run. But just to give you the context for that play, it was a four-point Warrior lead, and then Brandon Ingram made a three with like 3 seconds left in the first half. Warriors inbound, as always, after a made basket under the Pelicans' hoop, and it's Draymond inbounding the ball, and you've got three seconds, I think is what it was. So you don't have a lot of time to like just catch the ball on the block, on the opposite block, right? Your defensive half of the court, and, you know, call for a screen and get a play going. Like, you got to go quick. So there's like this innate connection on that play between Buddy Hield and Draymond Green. Buddy Hield with the defenders draped on him because they just want to deny him the basketball. So they're playing between Buddy and Draymond, who's inbounding the basketball, which means Buddy has some space behind him, right? Like, he starts just sprinting down the court, getting away from the guys who are face guarding him. And Draymond, you would think maybe throw over the top of the defense, but you're in trouble if, you know, the defender further down the court comes up and he can leap and at least just knock it away, or maybe intercept it, and maybe it's a bucket the other way. So Draymond, the incredible passer that he is, tries a bounce pass and like threads it between three different Pelicans defenders and perfectly hits Buddy field in stride on the bounce at around half court. Buddy just beats one, like, racing Pelicans defender to the ball, and he has so much positive momentum that he's able to just skip past him really quick, and he turns into an open left wing three, and he hits it at the buzzer, and suddenly it felt like the Pelicans were going to take the momentum in the half. The Warriors do. It was an awesome play, and I have a stat of the night for you. I haven't given it to you yet, and I had a play of the night for you. That was the play of the night. I thought it was a huge, huge moment for the Golden State Warriors in this basketball game. Without it, I'm not sure how the second half would have gone, because, again, it was a one-point game, and then Buddy Hield hit that to make it a four-point game, and the Warriors opened up the second half on a really nice run. About 3 minutes in, they were up by 11, so they outscored the Pelicans by 7, nearly 3 minutes in. They pushed the lead up to 14, with 7.5 to go in the third quarter. They were up by 16 about halfway through the third. They went on a 21-9 run to open that third quarter. And some of it, I think you got to credit to the fact that they had momentum going into the halftime break. They felt good about themselves going into the halftime break, and that was all because of Draymond and Buddy Hield. I'll tell you what, those two, that play, that doesn't really feel like a play that a couple of guys who are only playing in their fifth game together make. Like, that feels like a Draymond and Steph play. That feels like a Draymond and Klay play, because they've been on the same team and they've done things like that in moments like that for a decade plus now. Like, that didn't feel like a fifth game of the year new teammate play. That felt like guys that had been working together for a long time, and I was impressed by that play, and it was a big moment in this basketball game. Draymond Green to Buddy Hield. How about this as well for the Golden State Warriors, and then we'll get to Warriors head coach Steve Kerr. The Warriors without Steph Curry this year, they're now 2-0. They're perfect without Stephen Curry, and this comes after last year when they were 3-5 without Steph. One of those wins, really two of them, don't really mean much, because they were end of the year against Utah, both of them, when Utah was actively, probably they'll never admit to it, but it seemed like they were actively trying to lose basketball games. So really, in games where the opponent was actually trying to win, the Warriors were 1-5 without Steph last year. They're 2-0 without him this year. So positive development. I know you could say opponent, Pelicans dealing with their own injuries, but still, the Pelicans, even with the injuries specifically last night, tonight's a little bit of a different story. You're also without McCollum and Herb Jones, already without DeJounte Murray and Trey Murphy III, but you still beat a quality basketball team, a team that trots out Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram. There's a couple of good players. This is so the best team the Warriors have played this year, even tonight's team, I would argue, even with their injuries. So quality win for the Warriors. You do it without Steph, you do it without Wiggins, you do it without Melton, and you're now 4-1 on the season, and you're 2-0 without Steph Curry. Okay, let's hear from Warriors head coach Steve Kerr post-game earlier tonight, reacting to the Warriors' win over the Pelicans. The score again, 104-89 Dubs. They're now 4-1 this season. Here's Warriors head coach Steve Kerr post-game tonight, breaking it all down.
Steve, how would you...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors. From fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Describe Draymond's work over the last couple nights.
Yeah, he's still one of the best defenders in the world, that's for sure. The way he battled out there, but also the way he led, his energy, talking to the team during timeouts at halftime, he was fantastic.
What did he do well on Zion particularly?
He just made it hard on him. You know, 7 free throws for Zion, that's a good number for us. I mean, you just worry that he's going to have one of those games where he gets 14, 15 free throws. And Draymond has a unique ability to be physical without fouling, and it's because he's so smart. He knows the angles. He understands how to use his strength and his long arms to make people have to shoot over him. And he's an incredible shot challenger. I think Ingram had a three late, and Draymond just went from the middle of the paint all the way to the three-point line and got a piece of it. It was just amazing to watch. Just watch how smart he is and how active he is.
Did you all get a little too greedy? I think you went for a fifth straight Draymond challenge.
It just felt like a good time to, you know, ride the hot hand.
And he earned, I guess the
way he played. I mean, sometimes you just take one just to back your guy up. I think I said that pregame, but I think all five of our challenges have been Draymond, right? So we're 4 for 5, so it's a pretty good percentage.
It wasn't as made pretty offensively as last night was with all the threes. Did you sense that at some point that this might be kind of a grimier, more defensive focused kind of
thing? Yeah, with all of their guys out, I mean, they're missing, half the roster. And the way last night's game went, this was a little bit of a letdown game possibility. And I thought we let our guard down in the early second quarter. I let my guard down a little bit, and I didn't like a couple of my decisions early second quarter. And that allowed them to get back in the game. And I give them a lot of credit. They were playing really good defense, switching everything, making it difficult on us. We had all those turnovers in the second half or second quarter. But our guys settled down. Second half, only 2 turnovers the whole half, and that's the kind of game you just have to find a way to win, and I thought we did that with our defense.
Yeah, there's Steve Kerr post-game earlier tonight after the Warriors win over the New Orleans Pelicans. Again, the final score tonight, 104-89. Talking about that second quarter, Steve Kerr, and he's right. I mean, that was the ugliest quarter of the night by quite a margin for the Warriors. They only scored 20 points in that quarter. They scored 28 in the first, 20 in the second, 31 in the third, 25 in the fourth. And in the fourth, there was a decent chunk of garbage time as well. They committed 7 turnovers in that second quarter. They committed 14 on the game. They had, how many turnovers did they commit? They committed 12 turnovers, the Warriors did, in the first half. They had 2 turnovers in the second half. They cleaned it up. And it was kind of trending towards a similar story as last night, but kind of reversed. The Warriors at halftime, let's see if I can bring up just the first half stats. Yeah, here they are. The Warriors led by just 4 at halftime, despite the fact that they were shooting 51% from the field to New Orleans 33% from the field. They were shooting 47% from downtown to New Orleans 38% from downtown. but they only led by four. How is that possible when you're out shooting your opponent by that much? Like, we're talking nearly 20 percentage points from the field and nearly 10 percentage points from downtown. Like, you should be up by double digits, and the Warriors only led by four, and it was the turnovers. They committed 12 turnovers in the first half. It led to 11 New Orleans points, so about a point per turnover. New Orleans was efficient, turning those Warriors' mistakes into points the other way. The Pelicans weren't great, you know, controlling the ball and protecting the ball themselves. I mean, they committed 8 first-half turnovers. You probably want to be closer to, like, 5 or 6 a half at the very most, somewhere around 10 turnovers a night. 11 is a pretty good number. The Warriors committed 12 in the first half. The Pelicans committed 8, but the Warriors only turned those 8 turnovers into 5 points off turnovers. So the Pelicans had the edge by 6 points off turnovers, and I said a double-digit lead should be the expectation when you shoot that well, comparatively speaking, to your opponent. You led by 4. The turnover points off turnover differential was 6 points. If you are even on the points off turnovers, you get 6 more points off your turnovers. Your turnovers forced, you would have led by 10 points. So that was kind of the difference in the first half. That was why it was close, was the Warriors' turnovers. And that was the same exact story, but flipped last night for the Pelicans. The Pelicans were shooting the ball so well in the first half, specifically like the first 14 minutes of the basketball game, all of the first quarter, and then the first couple of moments of the second quarter. But why were the Warriors in the basketball game at halftime? It was because of the turnovers. And let me find the exact numbers for you from last night. Give me a sec here. At halftime, where is this? Hold on a second. At halftime, here it is. At halftime last night, the Pelicans only led by 4, despite the fact that they shot 52% to the Warriors' 33% from the field. They shot 36% from downtown to the Warriors' 26% from downtown. Again, this is last night. The Pelicans, very similar to the Warriors tonight, shot 20% better than their opponents in the first half last night and shot 10% better from deep than their opponents last night. Literally, it's just the roles reversed. What was the reason the Warriors were somehow only down by 4. This time the Warriors were up by 4 tonight. It was the same reason why the Warriors' lead wasn't larger. It was turnovers. The Warriors committed 12 turnovers in the first half tonight. The Pelicans committed 15 in the first half last night, and the Warriors turned that into 18 points off turnovers in the first 24 minutes. This was kind of a role reversal. The only thing that changed, the Pelicans did not come out and dominate the third and fourth quarters like the Warriors did last night. The Warriors, and I think, again, a big part of this was the Draymond to Buddy Hield buzzer-beating three to close the half to put the Warriors up 4. You kind of give them some semblance of momentum going into half, and instead of only being up 1 and thinking, man, how the hell is this nearly a tie game? We've dominated this basketball game. Instead, you're up 4, you're feeling good about yourselves, and that carries over into the third quarter, into the fourth quarter, and you ultimately come out and you win the basketball game going away. Some more garbage time down the stretch, and the Warriors win by 15 points, 104-89. So I think that was a really big moment in this game. The Warriors were in danger of letting what happened to the Pelicans last night, they were in danger of letting that happen to them tonight. They did not. They came out of the halftime break, and as Steve Kerr was talking about, played much smoother basketball. They were more in rhythm offensively. They simply stopped turning the ball over. 12 turnovers in the first half. They committed 2 turnovers in the entire second half of this basketball game. Really, really nice performance from the Warriors, specifically in quarter 3, when they locked down defensively, only allowed 22 points, and they scored 31. That was their highest scoring quarter of the game. And they did it when, you know, Buddy Hield got going a little bit in that third quarter. They got some points from everybody. I mean, really, it's the story of the game. You could see it in the third quarter by itself. In the third quarter, the Warriors scored 31 points. They got 8 of those points from Trayce Jackson-Davis. They got 6 pardon me, they got 7 from Buddy Hield, who got going offensively in that third, 6 from Draymond Green, 5 from Brandon Pajemski, and a couple from Moses Moody. It was a balanced scoring effort for the Warriors, and that third quarter really encapsulates exactly how the full game went for the Golden State Warriors. So a nice effort. You win the basketball game, you're now 4-1 on the year, and you go out on a nice long road trip coming up, and you try to improve on your standing here. One other thing that Steve Kerr mentioned, and this is going to be our stat of the night here on Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game. I've had both of my special segments here kind of spoiled. Cam Williams doing a great job on the ones and twos, playing the exact highlight that I wanted to highlight. Great job, Cam. For our play of the night, that Draymond to Buddy Hield buzzer-beating three, and Steve Kerr talking about his challenges. That was my stat of the night for tonight. Draymond Green was called for a foul on a Zion drive late in the second quarter. Kerr challenges it, and he wins again. And at that point, there was another challenge that came later, but at that point, Steve Kerr had called 4 challenges in the first 5 games of the year for the Warriors. All had been on Draymond Green plays, Draymond Green fouls, right? And he got all 4 of them reversed. And this has historically been not the Warriors' best area of success. They have generally struggled, and they're usually near the bottom of the pack in terms of getting reviews right, getting challenges correct, getting those calls overturned. And I think the reason why is what Steve Kerr said in the post game. I think it was a question asked by our Warriors insider, Anthony Slater. He essentially said, yeah, well, sometimes, you know, you challenge a play to show that you've got your guys back. And I think sometimes Steve Kerr might challenge a play. One, because it's late in the game. You're going to call a timeout anyway. You might as well. And use it or lose it. You don't, like, carry those over to the next game. But also, it's like, yeah, you know what? I'm not so sure I believe you that it's going to get overturned, Draymond, or whoever the potential guilty party might be. But I'll do it. I'll support you. I'll show that I have your back. Through the first 4 challenges of the year, which was through the first half tonight, they were all on Draymond potential fouls, and they were all overturned. That's our stat of the night. Then the perfect streak got upset later in the second half. Draymond Green was called for a foul on Zion Williamson again. Kerr challenges again. This time it fails, so the streak kind of over because Steve Kerr is no longer perfect challenging Draymond foul calls, but all 5 challenges have still been on Draymond Green foul calls, and it's so funny, we're getting to a point where almost every time Draymond's whistled for a foul, he gives the little, you know, twirly finger telling Steve Kerr, challenge it, Adam, foul him, challenge it, challenge it, challenge it, and, I mean, to Draymond's credit, he's generally been right this year, and so has Steve Kerr as a result, so that was a fun moment in this basketball game as well. That's our stat of the night. Draymond Green, 5 foul calls challenged so far this year by Steve Kerr. 4 of them, the first 4, have been overturned. I also think we got to talk about Jonathan Kuminga coming off the bench once again for the Golden State Warriors tonight. And I thought Kuminga was solid once again. He played 27 minutes off the bench. He had 16 points, the Warriors' second leading scorer. He had 4 rebounds, a couple of assists, only turned the ball over once, had a steal as well. 6 of 12 from the field. I really liked his decision-making in the first half. I think there were a couple of moments early in the third quarter where he settled for some jumpers. He took a 3. It was his only 3-point attempt of the half. Didn't really feel in rhythm. Took another deep 2 shortly after that. But I think if we're to look at his shot chart, and in fact, I can bring it up here in just a second. I think the vast majority of his 12 field goal attempts were in or around the paint. And that is huge for Jonathan Kuminga and the Warriors, because you just get him to where he's shooting within like 7 feet, 10 feet maybe, and he's going to be highly effective. Yeah, here it is. Kuminga was 6 for 12 from the field. He took a left wing 3 early in the third quarter, missed that one. He took a 3 just inside the the half circle beyond the free throw line. So not quite a three-pointer, but a little bit further away from the free throw line. Missed that one as well. Every other field goal attempt was in the paint. And of those 10 field goal attempts in the paint, he made 6 of them. 6 of 10 from in tight, including a couple of mid-range jumpers that he made from inside the paint. I thought Jonathan Kuminga was much more decisive with the basketball, and he was just much more aggressive going to the rim, and he had a couple of really nice moments in this basketball game as well. There was a stretch where he had a dunk on one possession, and then he came back. No, it wasn't a dunk. Pardon me. He was driving. I forget who he drove past, but he went up against Zion once he got past his man and just jumped like straight into him, absorbed the contact. That's not an easy guy to go up against down low, and banked it in off the glass. And then the next possession, or maybe a couple of possessions after, same dribble move to the left, but instead of taking it right through the chest of the defender, kind of faked that he would. And then a little bit of a fade off the right foot on the left baseline, banked it in off the glass from like 7 feet out. It was a nice, like, change of pace. Not necessarily change of pace to the point where you're taking a jumper instead of getting inside, but it's a couple of moves, a couple of variations of moves for Jonathan Kuminga. So I thought he had a really nice game as well, and I know Steve Kerr post-game was also complimentary of Jonathan Kuminga off the bench. I think overall we've been a little bit too rough on Kuminga, and I mean we, all of us talking heads here on 95.7 The Game and elsewhere about Kuminga, and, you know, is he pouting? Is he upset that he's not starting? First of all, he's got to be upset he's not starting. Why wouldn't you be? I'd be upset. Now, you can't let it affect your play, and you can't, you know, cause a stink in the locker room. That's when you get into trouble. But if you're not upset, I got news for you. You don't fit. You don't belong in this league. Kuminga should be upset, but he should use that for fuel and motivation. And I think through two games, I mean, it's been his best two games of the year. So positive returns for Jonathan Kuminga off the bench, in my opinion, as well. 16 points, 6 of 12 from the field. Only took one three. That's a big number for me. Buddy Hield talking about how all the Warriors shoot threes, and Steve Kerr spent so much of the preseason talking about it. I'm not sure I'd encourage that for Jonathan Kuminga, because it's just not his strength. But he can be so good if he picks his spots and gets to the rim, especially when he's surrounded by shooters and you get all that open space in the middle part of the floor. I thought Kuminga was good in this game as well. Okay, couple more things to get to before we do hop on out of here on Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game. First of all, we got to get to Crashing the Boards, which is brought to you by Chilton Auto Body, the Bay Area leader in collision repair. No Warriors in double digits on the rebounding tally tonight. However, we do have one who was just one away, and that was Trayce Jackson-Davis. This might have also been Trayce Jackson-Davis's best game of the year. I mentioned the 15 points, most of any Warriors starter. There were two Warriors off the bench that had more. Hield had 21, and Kuminga had 16. But Trayce Jackson-Davis, 15 points and 9 rebounds. He was 7 of 9 from the field. He played 20 minutes. 20 minutes and 9 rebounds. That's pretty good. That's almost a rebound every 2 minutes. That is elite stuff. If you're grabbing a rebound every 2 minutes or thereabouts, you might lead the league in rebounding, because generally you're going to be playing more than 20 minutes a game. Trayce Jackson-Davis was a monster on the glass tonight, and that's why he gets the honor of Crashing the Boards tonight, which is brought to you again by Chilton Auto Body, the Bay Area leader in collision repair. Thank you to Chilton. Okay, last order of business before we say goodbye for the night. How about this, Warrior fans? The next Warriors home game. Do you know who the opponent is? Do you know who the Warriors' opponent is the next time they play a basketball game at Chase Center? That would be Klay Thompson and the Dallas Mavericks. The Warriors are going on a road trip right now. It's a 5-gamer at Houston on Saturday, at Washington on Monday, at Boston on Wednesday, at Cleveland on Friday, and then at Oklahoma City on Sunday. 5-game road trip. You've got a couple of Western Conference opponents that bookend the trip, and then Washington, Boston, and Cleveland, the middle three of the trip. And then you return home Tuesday, November 12th, 7 o'clock tip against the Dallas Mavericks on TNT, and of course here on 95.7 The Game. That is an in-season tournament game, and it also marks the return of Klay Thompson Thompson to Chase Center as a member of the Dallas Mavericks. And Raymond Ritter, the fabulous PR man for the Golden State Warriors, he has told us at 95.7 The Game that the Warriors will welcome back Klay in a way that we've never seen in the NBA. So I would make sure you're locked in to the Warriors' next home game, Warriors-Mavs, Tuesday, November 12th. Sure, it's going to be an emotional night, Klay Thompson's return to Chase Center, not wearing a Warriors jersey. Looking forward to that for sure. But first, we've got five Warrior road games, Houston, Washington, Boston, Cleveland, and OKC, before the Warriors return home. All right, Warriors 4-1 on the year after tonight's 104-89 win over the Pelicans. A couple of big wins over a conference foe, the Dubs, 4-1. The Pelicans, with the loss, they fall on the season to 2-3. All right, that'll do it for us here tonight on 95.7 The Game. Thanks so much to everyone for making this possible. Cam Williams behind the glass. My name is Mark Granny, signing off. Thanks as well to the Warriors for putting me up in this office here inside of Chase Center. Really appreciate it as always. Another nice win for the Warriors. They go out on the road next, and we await more news on Steph Curry, who will be reevaluated on Friday. We'll have the news for you whenever it breaks on 95.7 The Game. Good night from Chase Center. Thanks so much for tuning in. Warriors win 104-89. We'll talk next time on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.